Every Tuesday on Kilkenny Today, Astronomy Slot with David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, who will keep us up to date every week on all that's going on above us. David, you're very welcome to Kilkenny Today.
Thank you very much.
Now, David, just a couple of things. My magazine's arrived this morning. I just wanted to have a chat with you about them first of all, right? You were doing the November or December issue this morning, were you?
Yes, we're actually redoing our schedule, so our magazine comes out in the middle of the month to give people about 2 to 3 weeks' notice of what's coming up in the following month. So the December issue will actually be out on Friday or Monday, depending on the post, how quick they get it to you, if that's the printers at the moment.
Okay, and I was going through the, because I had the magazine before, I hadn't seen the magazine before, so I was going through it, and first of all, to say to you congratulations on it, because what I found about it was that it is an easy read, the print is not too small in it. I certainly have a problem with that when the print is too small. I kind of say, look, oh God, do I have to read all that? But
that's very deliberate.
Yes, I kind of gathered that because and it's also not done in real all scientific language. It's done for the ordinary Joe Soap like myself, and it keeps to the point.
Exactly. I mean, we have a working title in-house called The Big Picture. So there are some stunning photographs come in from space telescopes, ground-based telescopes, and members of the Irish public photographing auroras and other things like that. And we like to feature the pictures because, as they say, a picture paints a thousand words. And they are breathtaking. It's a full-color magazine. We've been doing that for decades now. It was very expensive in the beginning. We bit the bullet on that. Today, everything's in full color. So we're able to keep the magazine very pictorial. And so it's aimed at families, kids with an interest in astronomy. If you're an expert or a scientist, you don't need Astronomy Ireland magazine. But the other 7 million people on the island of Ireland do need it. And there's so much in there, you know, from diagrams of what to see in the sky, that we're going to talk about in a moment, to the latest discoveries about black holes and the Big Bang and all the exotic things that I sometimes think are almost like a religion for some people rather than a science. I mean, why are we all here? Well, let's not go into that just now.
And David, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the stuff, the technology that we use every day, a lot of it emanated from the use in space, and then came down, was successful in space, and has been then becomes usable then to everybody. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there are two aspects to that. The first is we wouldn't be alive today if it weren't for space, we being the human race, because there are over 8 billion people on the planet now. And you can't sustain that many humans without a lot of technology. We're a bit of a vermin on the earth in one respect. Look at what we're doing to climate change, for instance. There's too many of us for nature, if you like. But the technology means we can manage our crops, and that means we can maximize the yield from the planet's resources. Some will say that's not necessarily a good thing. And that's all managed from space. And then there's the big, I think, benefit that we've gotten, the thing that affects our everyday lives. And that's the electronics industry. They had to shrink the size of computers in the 60s to fit onto spacecraft. And that powered the whole microelectronics industry, a multi-trillion dollar industry every year on Earth. So your smartphone with billions, actually trillions of transistors inside it today, that started off as a need to go to the moon. I mean, the Americans put something like 5% of their entire government budget into the space program, the space race with the Soviet Union. That's never going to happen again. Nobody would commit that level to an esoteric project like that. It's a matter of national pride. And we're living off the benefits of that today.
Yeah.
And people have realized just how useful it can be. And then NASA has a statistic of every dollar you put into NASA, you get $5 to $7, depending on who you ask, dollars back into your economy. So you would be a fool if you weren't spending vast amounts of money on space, just like the Irish government are as well.
Yeah. And just one, before we get to the Starlings, just one thing I noticed in the October issue of the magazine about the ISS, the International Space Station, astronauts 3D printing its first metal part in space. And we think, a lot of people out there might think, okay, so what? But there is, it's a lot different 3D printing in space, isn't it?
Yes, and it means they can make tools. So somebody on the Earth could design a tool, and if you had a colony on Mars, you basically email them the pattern, and the 3D printer there can print it out. And that would be very useful in space. If you need a tool to fix something, you haven't got it, they're having to launch a several hundred million dollar rocket up to the spacecraft to get it to them. They could 3D print it for themselves. And in fact, I remember when I was growing up, the big thing if you had a workshop was to have a lathe. Today you see people talking on the internet about, I needed a part for this, and I 3D printed it. So 3D printing is the future, and they've realized that in space. There are seven astronauts up there on the ISS at the moment, three more on the Chinese space station. So they're definitely 3D printers are part of the future toolkit, if you like, of an astronaut.
And of course, the only difference you have in space, you have just a little thing called gravitational issue to deal with when you're doing 3D printing.
Yeah, it won't actually make too much difference, and that's why they're testing it out, because these things, they stick together as they build up an object in 3D printing, tend to be quite sticky, be it hot metal or molten plastic. So gravity helps it a bit on the Earth. But, you know, with careful design considerations, you can 3D print just as easily in space. They've already proven it. And I very much think it's the future. They almost won't launch the astronauts, perhaps without all the tools, and send them up the planet to 3D print them when they need them.
Yeah. Now, SpaceX's Starlinks, tell me about them. And they're obviously could pose a threat as well to astronomy, couldn't they?
Yeah, this is a good story and a bad story. First of all, it's very spectacular, I have to confess. So last night, 24 of these Starlink satellites flew across the sky because they'd been launched the previous day. When the rocket gets up, it opens up and releases the 24 satellites, and they slowly boost themselves up to a higher orbit. And as they're moving away from each other, which takes about a week, you can see them. So normally you only see one satellite crossing the sky on its own. But to have 24 of them in a thin line, I've seen it a few hours after launch, and you can't see the individual satellites. Instead of looking like a dot crossing the sky, it looks like a line crossing the sky. And the next night, then they've moved a bit further apart. You could perhaps just hide them behind your fist at arm's length. The night after that, you've got to spread your fingers out. They're that far apart. And after about a week, the one's coming up on one side of the horizon, another one's going down on the other side of the right, and you get 24 spread across the whole sky. So a fascinating sight. Looks very pretty. Unfortunately, you're getting a lot of satellites in space now. You see far more satellites with the naked eye of an evening than you do shooting stars. So nature is being swamped by mankind. I do somehow liken it to, you know, the mess we're making of the oceans by filling them full of plastic, and we're doing the same to the night sky. These days you take a picture, if you're into photography, you get satellites photobombing all of your pictures, and you'll see it. People have been following the comet, seeing pictures internationally. There's always several streaks in the background of the comet. They're man-made satellites. That didn't happen a decade or two ago, and Elon Musk's SpaceX is planning to put up, he's already got, I think, 6,000 up. And ultimately, he plans to have 40-odd thousand. Other companies are doing as well, because there's huge money in space-based internet. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And there'll be 100,000 of these satellites eventually. And it's making a mess of space as well. It's hard to keep track of those and not bump into them. So somebody needs to do something about it. And a giant 1 billion euro telescope that's going to scan the skies, looking out for rocks that might crash into us, has said 30% of its work is going to be ruined by these people making money out of space-based internet.
So is there a need?
One of those environmental tragedies.
And David, is there a need then now with the rate of this? I mean, because SpaceX is looking at launching up to 40 a week at the moment. Is there a need now for countries to come together to create some rules around these, around this?
I think so. And the research astronomers who are investing, you know, our taxes, €1 billion spent by multiple countries around the world to build one giant survey telescope called the Vera Rubin Observatory. And they're really worried about this because it gets worse. Half their work could be gone. You know, so you're wasting up to maybe €500 million on the project like this, not to mention all the ongoing costs every year. So the rules are at the moment, there's not that much space law, and it's, the UN have some say in it, but things can't really be prosecuted too easily. It's a real nightmare. There is a whole growing industry of space law coming in now. But for instance, all SpaceX have to do is they're launching from the USA. They have to get permission from the Federal Aviation Authority over there. And they're mainly interested about if you launch, will it fall on somebody's head? So as long, once it goes up into space, they're not worried about the space clutter. That's not their remit, to be fair to the FAA. But we need some kind of an international body to regulate this whole thing. And I think a lot of people realize that. And maybe we'll get to it in the future. As a relatively small amateur organization, the world stage, not much that we can do about it except lend our support to anybody and call on them, you know, to look at what they're doing.
And of course,
perhaps we don't need space-based internet.
And of course, David, when Trump was in the last time, he created the Space Force. You now have the likes of Elon Musk and other private industries. You must see the whole space thing revving up. Making massive advances in such a short time since the private sector came on board. So definitely they're going to have to create rules around this, or as you say, it'll be like the oceans with plastic in the oceans.
Yes, yeah, space is the future. It's a bit of a wild west frontier at the moment, but non-astronomers, financial people, have said that the world's first trillionaire, Elon Musk is not quite there yet, I think he's getting close to halfway there. But the world's first trillionaire is expected to be a space entrepreneur. Jeff Bezos has his own space company as well. Both he and Elon Musk have got billion-dollar contracts off NASA, and they're courting the commercial sector across the planet for people who want to launch their own satellites for communications, for weather, crop forecasting, all kinds of things. So they've all realized that not only is their childhood hobby space and astronomy, both Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos were both young kid astronomers, and can make them a lot of money, but it's the future of the human race. The two of them have stood up on stage and said they're going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century. You know, if anybody else said that, you think they were crazy. But these are the guys that have the biggest space companies in the world.
For sure. Now, we've only time for one more piece, and we'll talk about the International Space Station, because that's going to blaze across the sky. It's been doing it from yesterday, is it? Or next Monday, is it?
No, actually, it's next week, next Monday. It'll be low down, actually, over the weekend, but we tend not to promote those because people have to go out and look for it, and they end up not finding it because of trees and the like. But when it goes overhead, it's the brightest thing in the sky for a couple of minutes. Really spectacular. The only thing that'll be more spectacular is when Jupiter is near the moon on Sunday night, something we really recommend people to go out and look at. But the space station, we can predict it pretty accurately. It's extremely bright. You only see it for a couple of minutes. So you need the exact time. We post those free of charge on all of our social media. We do a daily post just around sunset to tell people what to watch that night. So tonight we're saying 6:15 p.m. Those Starlinks are going to fly over. Almost next week we'll be adding to that, if the Starlinks are around, that there'll be the International Space Station. That's unique because it's got people on board, no people on Starlinks.
Okay.
And then, of course, there might be an aurora display. None forecast for tonight, I can tell you, but you never know what's going to happen. An explosion happens on the sun. 2 days later, we get an aurora, and we monitor that and tell people free, daily, on our social media.
Okay, we leave it there. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, thank you indeed for joining us, as always, here on Community Radio Kilkenny City and Kilkenny Today. Thank you indeed for listening.